We pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Amen. Promises. Do you keep your promises? Have you ever told someone that you're going to do something for him, but then circumstances got in your way and you failed to do it? You're a human being. Human beings cannot see into the future. So instead of being so self-confident, we should say, as James does in his epistle, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. When you were confirmed, you made promises. You promised to live according to the word of God, to remain true to God and his teachings, to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. Have you been faithful? Or must we admit that our words and deeds do not always measure up to our promises? How comforting it is to know then that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is why we can, in our moments of guilt, turn to the promise that God has made. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to do that. Only with confidence in God's faithfulness to his promises can we continue to try to live up to the promises that we made. Well, let's look at the faithfulness of God. Let's test him. We begin by observing his actions in the past. In Isaiah 34:16, we read, "Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them." The book of the Lord, the book of Jehovah, that was the Old Testament in Isaiah's day. It's filled with promises and prophecies, beginning with 4,000 B.C. and ending in 400 B.C. There are hundreds of prophecies. Now, because this is Holy Week, we're going to concern ourselves with messianic prophecies, especially the Holy Week prophecies. What we see in our text is that God's mouth commanded it, and his spirit gathered them. He gave the promises, and the Holy Spirit gathered them together into fulfillment. Genesis 3. The Messiah would be the seed of the woman, making him a man. Psalm 2. He would be the divine Son of God. Isaiah 7. He would be born of a virgin. Genesis 12, a descendant of Abraham. Genesis 49, a descendant of Judah. 2 Samuel 7, a descendant of King David. Micah 5, he'd be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Deuteronomy 18, he would proclaim God's truth. Isaiah 61, he would proclaim the good news of salvation. Isaiah 35, he would perform miracles. Psalm 40, he would lead a sinless life. Those are just a few of the prophecies. But let's look at the Holy Week prophecies. Zechariah 9, he would enter Jerusalem in a lowly manner, riding on a donkey. Psalm 118, the people would cry out, "Hosanna," hailing him as king. Isaiah 53, yet the people would reject him, filling him with sorrow. Though innocent, he would be wounded, bruised, scourged. He would remain silent before his accusers. he would be condemned. Psalm 22, full of prophecies. His hands and feet nailed to a cross. He would be mocked by men and forsaken by God. Exodus 12, his bones would not be broken. Zechariah 12, instead, he would be pierced. Isaiah 53 again, he would suffer for our sins, die, and be buried. These and many more prophecies and promises are found in the book of Jehovah, the book of the Lord. Each Lenten season, we hear how Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled each of these prophecies. The Spirit gathered them together into fulfillment in the person of Jesus. Not one of them failed. Each prophecy found its mate, the mate being the fulfillment of the prophecy. And then came that monumental fulfillment in his last moments on the cross. There was one prophecy that was yet to be fulfilled. And in the midst of his agony, we read, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Every prophecy was fulfilled. It is finished. Even down to the last sip of sour wine. Of course, we cannot leave it there, leave Jesus in the grave. Psalm 16, he would rise again victorious. As we look over these prophecies and how the Spirit gathered the fulfillment together in Jesus, we know God is faithful. He kept the most difficult of promises, the promise to make his own Son bear our sins, suffer our punishment, even the agony of hell. So if God would be faithful to that promise, we can be confident that he will be faithful to all of his promises. And one proof is right here in this field house. You are the proof. In faithfulness, God kept his promise that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, would go to you, and that he would bring forgiveness of sins to you, promising you that you already have a place reserved for you in heaven. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Therefore, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hymn number 809, verse 3.
With 10,000 beings. side. Great thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning and morning, no mercies I see. All I have need that thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.